الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, yesterday for the Jummah talk, I had explained the great lofty character that our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses in the Quran, and Allah took an oath on the pens that have written the taqdeer. When people of Makkah, after they could not find any fault in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who possessed such a perfect and exalted character, they began to say that this man is insane. He's a madman. He's a mad poet, Sha'ri Majnoon. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed verses, Surah Qalam, Noon, wal qalami wa ma yasrun. Allah took an oath on the pens, or the pen that writes the maqadir, according to the most mufassireen, and what the angels are writing, ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon. That, O my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not with the fadl and the grace of your Rabb an insane person. So we explained that this world has never seen a personality like that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with such a lofty, impeccable character, such an exalted maqam he had, status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never before him, never after him. And I explained Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala, the poet of Rasulullah sallam, the great sahabi, he said that people have left this world, but this world has never missed a person like that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his demise, and nor will they ever miss any other person as much as they miss Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his demise. So in short, Hassan bin Thabit rahmatullahi alayhi radiallahu ta'ala says, وأحسن منك لم تر قط عيني وأجمل منك لم تلد النساء خلقت مبرأ من كل عيب كأنما خلقت كما تشاء. That no eyes have seen any more handsome person than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أحسن منك, better than you, no eyes have seen. And no woman has given birth and conceived a child more handsome and beautiful than you are. And we normally mention this narration of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. It was the 14th full moon. 14th full moon. Absolutely beautiful. Any person who is driving and he sees the 14th full moon, you will express the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, Subhanallah, how beautiful it is. And Jabir radiallahu anhu says it is the 14th full moon, and he was admiring the glow and the brightness of the 14th full moon. And suddenly his gaze fell on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was wearing a garment with red stripes. And the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam captured his attention. And then again he looks at the full moon, and how beautiful the moon was looking. And looks again at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the nur, the luster on his face. And finally he comes to the conclusion that the nur on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam outweighs the brilliance of the 14th full moon. Some ulama have mentioned an incident that once Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha
was busy sewing something at home. It was dark and she lost her needle. And she was searching for her needle. And suddenly Rasulullah SAW enters the home. And the moment he entered his home, the light that shone from his Mubarak face, immediately she was able to pick up her needle. And therefore she used to say, Lana shamsun walinnasi shamsun. We have got a sun, and people have a sun. We have the sun that rises in the morning, sets in the evening, the sun that we always experience every day. She says, the people have a sun, and I also have a sun. But the difference in my sun and the sun of the people is, the people's sun, the world's sun, the sun of the world, which Allah has created, the sun and moon, the sun, in the evening it sets, but my sun rises in the evening at night. Everything becomes bright, and I mentioned Anas radiallahu anhu's narration that when Rasulullah SAW came to Medina, Medina literally became full of light and nur. And when he passed away, Anas radiallahu anhu says, "Ankarna qulubana." We could feel this difference in our hearts now. We were missing something. Everything became so gloomy for us. Imagine sitting in the company of Rasulullah SAW every day, watching the beautiful countenance on his face and enjoying his suhbah in company. And just for a short while, the sahabi had to go home after the majlis of Rasulullah SAW terminated. And he became restless. What was worrying him? Why was he restless? Just a few minutes ago, he was in the company of Rasulullah SAW. He comes home. There is no worldly problem. There's no problem for the wife or the kids. But he begins to miss the company of Rasulullah SAW. He wants to just view that face of Rasulullah SAW once more. And this prompts him to go out again, knock on the door of Rasulullah SAW, make salam, and just look at the beautiful face of Rasulullah SAW once more, to give him some type of consolement. So Ban radiallahu ta'ala asked Rasulullah SAW once, Ya Rasulullah, in this dunya we are so fortunate, we are in your company. In the akhirat, what is going to be our plight and condition? You are guaranteed Jannah. We do not know whether we will get Jannah. And even if we do get Jannah, where will our rank be? We will be, and how low will we be in way? How far and how high you will be, your rank, your maqam? Nabi Kareem SAW remained silent until the wahi came down. وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Which simply means that those who obey Allah and obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and obedience to Allah and obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not just selected obedience. In a few deeds we just obey Allah and obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cherry pick, we are selective. Whatever suits us we'll do. What is not so, we don't feel like doing, practicing upon it, we discard it. No, we need to bring the full obedience of Allah and the complete obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives, to enjoy these virtues that Allah has promised. Then you will be with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. You will be with the Siddiqeen, with the martyrs, with the Saliheen. In other words, you will be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And therefore, in the narration of Anas radiallahu ta'ala, he says, it's a lengthy narration, when a Bedouin once comes, and he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Mata sa'ah? When will Qiyamah take place? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, that ma adatta laha. What preparations have you made for Qiyamah? Don't ask me when Qiyamah is taking place, like in madrasa or school. Don't ask the teacher, ask the ustad, when is exams? He said, don't worry about when exam will commence. You start preparing for exams. What preparations have you made? He says, Ya Rasulullah, ulama explain. He said, not plentiful of nafil, salat and rozas and sadaqah. The faraid he was doing. But extra, he was not doing as much. لَكِنِّي أُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. But I really, genuinely love Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلْمَرْءُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. On the day of Qiyamah, you will be with who you love. Another narration, a person says that a person comes into this world and he has not seen a group of people who he really, genuinely loves, like how we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We did not see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it is that burning desire of every ashiq Rasul. Every person who really loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how I wish I could see my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba were fortunate. They saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were in his company. We have not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm digressing, so I hope I don't forget where I was. Just remind me, inshallah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam once went to Baqi'ul Gharqad, Jannatul Baqi. He made dua for all the people who were in Jannatul Baqi. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam then mentions to Sahaba, how I wish I could see my brothers. Sahaba said, aren't we your brothers? He said, no, you are my companions. You are my ashab. My brothers are those who have not come into this world as yet. They will come after my demise. I wish I could see them. This is the love Rasulullah had for you and I. So Sahaba loved Rasulullah so dearly. They could not bear to even miss him for a few hours. Let alone for a few days or weeks or months. And Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, the famous incident which we have heard multiple times. When Rasulullah sends him off to Yemen, dispatches him to Yemen. A beautiful occasion, an incident. And Rasulullah instructs Mu'adh to remain seated on his conveyance. And Nabi Kareem is walking with Mu'adh, bidding him farewell, giving him advices, how he should conduct himself in Yemen. He was sent as a mu'allim, as an ustad, as a qadi, as a judge. He is going to teach the people deen. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was feeling uncomfortable to be riding, mounted on the horse or the camel, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam is walking. But he has to listen to the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him some advices, and then he tells him, Ya Mu'adh. And who is this Mu'adh? He is the same Mu'adh radiallahu anhu whom on another occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls him and tells him, Ya Mu'adh, Wallah, إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّكُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes a qasam in Allah. He says, O Mu'adh, I love you. After your fard salat, don't forget to read, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. So he is that Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, that now Nabi Kareem is sending him out of Madina Munawwara. He is no longer going to be enjoying the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he's going to go far off to Yemen. And then Rasulullah gives him the news or tells him, Asa an la talqani ba'da aami hadha. O Mu'adh, perhaps you're not going to see me again after this year. وَلَعَلَّكَ أَن تَمُرَّ بِمَسْجِدِي وَقَبْرِي. And when you come back, you'll go past my masjid and my qabr. فَبَكَى مُعَاذٌ جَشْعًا بِفِرَاقِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu began to cry profusely. How is going to now miss his beloved Rasulullah sallallahu. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu consoles him and tells him, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِي الْمُتَّقُونَ مَنْ كَانُوا حَيْثُ كَانُوا. That do not worry. The people who will be most closest to me in the day of Qiyamah and those who have taqwa, wherever they may be in this world. And exactly like that, Rasulullah left this world, and Mu'adh gets the news. In fact, the historians have written that he had seen a dream of Rasulullah s.a.w. that Mu'adh, what's happening? That I am being buried, something to this effect, and you are taking so long. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu then goes, sits on his conveyance and begins to rush towards Medina, but by that time Nabi Karim was already buried, he had passed on. Sawad bin Ghaziyya radiallahu anhu, battle of Badr is about to take place, the greatest battle in Islam. And Rasulullah has made the safs of the Sahaba, they're going to be engaging in this battle against the Mushrikeen. And as he is putting them in line, Sawad bin Ghaziyya radiallahu anhu was jutting out of line. So with a stick, a twig, a branch, Rasulullah prods him and pushes him in line. And suddenly he says, Aqidni ya Rasulullah, awja'tani, you hurt me, ya Rasulullah, I want to take revenge. Battle of Badr is taking place, this is a serious matter, enemy in front. And this Sahaba is saying, must take revenge. Nabi Kareem lifts his kurta, Or is Nabi Akhirin some tell him, okay, you can take revenge? He says, no. Because Sawad at that moment did not have an upper garment. He just had a lower garment. Sahaba were not so rich. They were poor initial period of Islam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I was bare chest. Rasulullah SAW lifts his kurta. Can you imagine Abu Bakr radiallahu present day, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, looking at Sawad bin Ghaziyya, what is he up to? He goes running towards Rasulullah SAW. And he hugs Rasulullah SAW. He embraces him. He places his body onto the back of Rasulullah SAW. He holds him tightly. He says, Ya Rasulullah SAW, perhaps I may become shaheed in this battle. And I want the last thing in my life is that my body, my skin must touch yours. Exactly that. Sawad bin Ghaziyya radiallahu ta'ala, he became shaheed. They loved Rasulullah SAW genuinely, truly. To not just lip service. Not just on certain occasions. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, whatever Rasulullah did, they would observe very, very carefully, very clearly, every action of his, how he drank, how he partook of his meals, how he sat, how he spoke, how he walked, how he spoke to people, how he interacted with others, how he behaved and conducted himself in public. What they observed when he performed salat, his mannerisms, his habits, how he dealt with people, with slaves, with servants. Sahaba would go up to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they would inquire from the wives of Rasulullah sallam behind the parda. That how was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how would he conduct himself inside his house? What was the type of ibadah he would make? Because they wanted to practice on every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say this is the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most perfect way of life, and especially in these times, we are going through great, great challenges. And every single day we have something weird taking place in the world, a new fitna, some shocking news we get, different parts of the world. And we will send this thing, we'll make it viral, and we'll say, how can such people do such things? Have we questioned ourselves, how much of sunnah do I have in my life? Is my home like that of a person who enters, he can see, yes, I can see sunnah in this home? In my business, it's not just one frame that we might put up that makes it an Islamic office, an Islamic company. It has to be in us, in our actions, our dealings, our conduct. We have got a lot of work and effort to still do. We have become complacent and content just with a little bit of whatever we have picked and we have chosen and we're satisfied. We have got great, 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 great responsibilities. We have to pass on this deen which came to us on a golden platter through the sacrifices of our elders, our mashayikh, our ulama, the tabligh jamaat, and so many others, individuals made an effort. Ulama came from foreign countries. And now we have to pass this on to our youth. Obviously we're not here to test any person and his knowledge. But if we have to ask ourselves, if some non-Muslim comes and asks us, any person, tell me, describe to me your Rasulullah SAW. Tell me, what was his beauty like? What was his hair like? How would your Nabi SAW walk? How did he conduct himself? What did he eat? How did he eat? How many of us will be able to answer that person? We claim we love Rasulullah SAW. We do not even know the manner in which he walked. Ulama have written volumes and alhamdulillah many of those have been now translated into English. So respected brothers and elders, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I just gave a few examples. Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala in battle of Uhud, he defended, he guarded Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much that he would pick up his hand every time an arrow was shot towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would save the Mubarak, the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu from becoming hurt and injured, and his hand would bear the brunt of that arrow that would pierce his hand. Eventually his whole hand became paralyzed. وَكَانَتْ يَدُ طَلْحَى شَلَّى. And Rasulullah SAW then gave him glad tidings. أَوْجَبَ طَلْحَى أَوْجَبَ طَلْحَى أَوْجَبَ طَلْحَى. Talha has made Jannat compulsory for him. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala had no teeth in the front. And the reason for this is, when the enemy threw a stone at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Mubarak face began to bleed and the ring of the helmet was pierced right into his cheeks, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala, in that battlefield, he saw this. He goes creeping up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he thinks to himself, I'm going to use my hand. The force of my hand is going to cause more pain when I'm going to remove this helmet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So with his teeth, he bites gently onto this helmet and then he begins to loosen the rings of the helmet that had pierced the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in doing so, he lost his teeth. Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbi had climbed a tree when the news comes that Rasulullah SAW has left this world. He makes a dua. Ya Allah, there's nobody in this world now better than Rasulullah SAW that I could set my eyes upon. Ya Allah, make me blind. He became blind. Because day and night they would see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would observe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They want to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he's going for Hajj, and the companions are traveling with him, and they all normally traveling together, and suddenly there is no branch, there's no tree, but he puts his head down, as though he's going under a branch, and he comes out on the other side. And then he sits for a little while at a certain spot, pretending he wants to relieve himself, but of course there's no urge, he's not relieving himself, he just sits there for some while and he wakes up. People ask him, what are you doing? He says, see this, when I traveled with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came, there was a tree, there was a branch, and he also went under this branch. Although there's no branch here today, but even this much sunnat I would like to follow of my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallam relieved himself at that spot, even though I had no urge, but I regarded that to be a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi comes to mind. When it's a long incident behind how they persecuted Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, and he had to flee from his home until he sought refuge in a house of a very close friend. And after 3 days, he's now leaving. His friend says, what are you doing? They're going to kill you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to harm you. Why are you going away? Stay longer. He says, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in Ghar al-Thawr when he was making hijrat from Makkah to Medina only for 3 days. After that he left. This too is a sunnat of my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See the scholars of the past, the illustrious ulama, every sunnat, every action of Rasulullah sallam, they would bring into their lives. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu talk about the cave of Thawr. We know the incident, how he cleaned the entire cave. And then Rasulullah sallam and himself, they went inside. And he had stuffed all the holes with some material that he had. But there were just 2 holes that were still open. And he could not find anything to close. And Rasulullah SAW is now resting. And he's got his Mubarak head on the lap of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. And Abu Bakr has placed his 2 soles or his feet. And he has closed his 2 holes that were on the wall of the cave. And suddenly his scorpion or a spider begins to bite, a scorpion begins to bite the feet of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and it is, he's feeling the pain, but he is bearing that pain. He's not awakening Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his rest, from his sleep, until the pain caused some tears to roll down his cheeks and then fall onto the face of Rasulullah sallam, who becomes alerted. Abu Bakr, what has happened? And then he explained to Rasulullah SAW, this is what happened. To that level, they would not want to let any harm come to Rasulullah SAW. They would physically defend Rasulullah SAW. They would want to see that my Nabi Kareem SAW, he is safe, he is sound, he is well. After one battle, a woman who had lost her husband, her father, her son, her brother, four males of her family, people who would support her. Not just one person passing away, her father, her husband, her brother, her son. Each time as the sahaba were returning, and they tell her, your father passed away, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Your son passed away, your brother passed away, your husband passed away. She said, tell me, how is my master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is he okay? Is he fine? They tell her, yes. But she's not convinced. Perhaps he's just making up a story. Nabi Karim must have passed away, he may be injured. Maybe he became shaheed. Why can't I see him as yet? Until finally when she sees Rasulullah s.a.w. Ya Rasulullah, kullu musibatin ba'daka jalalu. Every calamity that has befallen me, I lost my father, my brother, my son, my husband. Big musibat upon me, but it has become so insignificant after I've seen you. You are healthy, you are sound, you are safe. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sitting with Sahaba and he had to go into his home, and after some time he came out. And in the interim, Sahaba were discussing various Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So one Sahabi, he mentioned the greatness of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was Khalilullah. Very great merit, very high position, friend of Allah. Somebody said, Isa Karimatullah. Isa alayhi was born without a father. Allah had sent down the angel. Allah said, kun fayakun, be. And he became. And the angel blew into the collar of Maryam alayhi salatu salam, and she then became pregnant. So Isa alayhi miraculous birth to something significant. So he had great merit in the eyes of Allah also. Musa alayhi salam, kaleemullah, he spoke to Allah. What a great privilege, what a great honor. Adam Safiullah, the very first person Allah created. First man, first creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or first man. He is our father. We are all known as Bani Adam, children of Adam, alayhi salam. So each one was expressing their admiration for these great Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, and Nabi Karim comes out. He says, سَمِعَتُ كَلَامَكُمْ وَعَجَبَكُمْ. I heard your conversation. I heard your admiration, your wonderment about the great Anbiya. Yes, Ibrahim is Khalilullah, Musa is Kalimullah, Isa is Ruhullah wa Kalimatu, Adam is Safiullah, Allah wa Ana Habibullah. But understand very carefully, I am the Habib of Allah, the most beloved of Allah. وَلَا فَخْرَ. I'm not saying this out of pride. In Mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah, Ya Habibi udnu minni, O my beloved, come closer to me. وَمَا ذُكِرْتُ إِلَّا ذُكِرْتَ مَعِي. And whenever my name will be taken, your name will also be taken. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. No adhan is complete without Muhammad Rasulullah. And therefore the poet says, بَلَغَ الْعُلَى بِكَمَالِي كَشَفَ الدُّجَى بِجَمَالِي حَسُنَ جَمِيعُ خِصَالِهِ صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ رِسَاءَ دُرُوْ شَرِيْفَ بَوَ النَّبِيَ كَرِيمِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد المبارك وسلم. Allah forgive us. Allah forgive us. How we forget to read durood upon Nabiya Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم. Every time we hear Nabiya Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم name, say صلى الله عليه وسلم. Otherwise we are regarded in the hadith to be a kanjus. البخيل من ذكرت عنده ولم يصلي عليه. A kanjus, a miser, is that person, Nabi Kareem says, when my name is taken, he doesn't even send salutations upon me. I've mentioned this previously also, after Adhan, or during Adhan, we should listen attentively. Reply to the words the Muazzin is saying. And immediately after Adhan, as mentioned in the hadith, you recite durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First you read durood sharif. Then you read the dua after Adhan, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tammah. Till the end. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever reads, whoever does this, حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي. My intercession becomes wajib for him on the day of Qiyamah. I will intercede on his behalf on the day of Qiyamah. All we're asking in this dua, There is a position which is the highest of positions in Jannah. Highest of positions. Rasulullah says it is only for one person. I wish I get that position. And that's the dua we'll be making after Azan. We're asking Allah to give our Rasul that position. Look at the sacrifices he made for us. And just one request from his ummah that make this dua after Azan. Even that we find so difficult. Let us make up our minds. Make a firm pledge to ourselves that from today, inshallah, I will give jawab to the Azan. Instead of talking about this and that, and if yes, something is necessary, it's a different matter. But listen to the Azan, give jawab, and immediately after that, read Duru Sharif first, and then read this dua after Azan. There are so many things I would like to share regarding the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his tolerance, his forbearance. And we mentioned a few incidents yesterday, how people treated him, but how kind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, how he tolerated them, the sabr he made. All this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam never became angry. People showed hostility towards him. Nabi Kareem sallam would just smile. He would overlook. He would forgive. He would forget. I was mentioning the hadith. Nabi Kareem said, "Ana habibullah, ana awwalu man tanshaqqa anhu al-ard." On the day of Qiyamah, when all the qabrs will be opened, I'll be the first person to emerge from my qabr. Wa ana awwalu shafi'in, wa ana awwalu mushaffa'. I will be the first person to intercede. Long hadith, very long. The people go to Adam Islam first. Oh Adam, tell Allah to start now, hisab, kitab. How long are we standing here? It's painful, it's horrifying. People running, helter, skelter. And Adam Islam will send him to another Nabi, to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and he will continue until finally they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He will go into sajda and he will cry and he will praise Allah with such praises that never before he made those praises of Allah Ta'ala before. No person used such words in praise of Allah. Allah will only inspire Rasulullah then, at that moment, with such praises of Allah. And after some time, Allah will say, "Ya Muhammad, irfa ra'asak, sal tu'ta' washfa' tushaffa'." Hey Muhammad, oh my Muhammad sallam, raise your head. Ask, you'll be given. Intercede, your intercession will be granted. And then Qiyamah will begin, the hisab kitab, the reckoning. This is called Ash-Shafa'atul Uzma. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I'll be the first person to intercede and the first person whose intercession will be accepted." Wa ana awwalu man yaqra'u bab al-jannah. Wa fi riwayatin hilaq al-jannah. I'll be the first person to knock on the door of Jannah. And Jannah will not be open for any person before me. Inna al-jannah hurrimat ala al-anbiya'i kulliha hatta adkhulaha. وَإِنَّهَا لَحُرِّمَتْ عَلَى الْأُمَمِ كُلِّهَا حَتَّى تَدْخُلَهَا أُمَّتِي. The Jannah has been made prohibited for every Nabi to enter until I enter. Until Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he enters, no Nabi can enter before him. No Ummah can enter Jannah till this Ummah of Nabi Kareem some enters Jannah. We are extremely fortunate. Nothing of our dreams. We didn't ask Allah we want to be in this Ummah. Allah chose us to be in this Mubarak Ummah of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a great honor for us. Allah has really favored us. I don't have time to go into the thawab of this ummah, the blessings of this ummah. So this kitab I have is Shama'il of Tirmidhi. Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi is one of those great scholars of hadith. Like how Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Abu Dawud, Imam Abu Dawud, Imam Nasai, we have Imam At-Tirmidhi. And he has mentioned a whole section dedicated just on the shamail, the features of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the conduct, the sublime conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is amazing, they went to such details, they would explain the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the zulfa, and the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the surma, his itar, his bed, his bedding, his food, his sitting, his talk, all those things have been mentioned. But I'm just going to say like, just two narrations here. Perhaps we have not heard these narrations before. And many of us who may have read it and learnt it, we have forgotten it. But there are some few important lessons, inshallah, where Hassan bin Ali radiallahu ta'ala, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I asked my maternal uncle, the half-brother of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Remember, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha is the mother. She was married previously, before she married Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she had a son by the name of Hind, Ibn Abi Hala. So he becomes the half-brother of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. So her son, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, said, I asked my uncle, because he was amongst those very, very few sahaba who could give a very detailed description on the features of Rasulullah, his physical features. The reason for this is sahaba, when they would sit in the company of Rasulullah, whilst they observe everything, but they could not stare at his blessed face. Out of reverence and respect for him, they would just lower their heads. He said, وَكَانَ وَصَّافًا مِنْ حِلْيَةِ النَّبِيِّ. So he could in detail give the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just, he mentioned, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَخْمًا وَفَخْمًا. Which one explanation is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a very great personality, and he was deemed to be great in the eyes of the people around him. And they had that azamat for him, that respect and that reverence for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So people regarded him to be a great personality as well. And then he mentioned, يَتَلَأْلَأُ وَجْهُ تَلَأْلُ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةِ الْبَدْرِ, which I explained already, that his face would shine like the 14 full moon. In fact, in one narration also mentioned, like as though the sun was gliding in his face. Nonetheless, it's a lengthy hadith. I will just mention a few points here, which is interesting. It says, كَانَ إِذَا أَوَى إِلَى مَنْزِلِهِ. When Rasulullah would go home, and we all like to know, when Rasulullah goes home, how did he divide his time? How did he spend his time at home? So this hadith says, جَزَّأَ دُخُولَهُ ثَلَاثَةَ أَجْزَى. He'll divide his time at home into three parts. First part, جُزْءًا لِلَّهِ, only for Allah in the ibadat of Allah. So whether it was salat, nafil salat, tilawat of the Quran, dhikr, dua, etc., only for Allah. And then one third wujus an li ahli, for his wives, for his family, children, grandchildren. Remember, he was such a great leader that not only for people in that circle, on a government level, they would find something and to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No. A businessman can find, when he is looking for a solution, answers in the life of Rasulullah, how he conducted himself in trade and business. A husband, a father, a ruler. So the seerah of Rasulullah, such, it encompasses such great facets of life that every person can relate himself and get some, draw some lessons from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was a human being, like how we are humans, we have wives, we have children. So it was not such that he would come inside his house, just only ibadat and not even smiling at his wives. It is mentioned, I mentioned previously in the nikah bayans, that after Fajr, Rasul would sit on his musalla until Ishraq, and go to visit his wives. The wives he had, each one he'll go visit them and ask them how they are feeling, etc. And even after Asr he would do that. And when he would leave, he would give them a kiss also. Showing that love, that muhabbah. His grandchildren, he loved them so dearly, so dearly, so dearly, that whilst he's on the minbar, and Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhuma enter, the little young boys, Nabi Kareem from leaves his whole khutbah. He descends from the minbar, he goes forward and he embraces them, he hugs them, and he says, these are my Rehana. My Rihan, my fragrance of Jannah. He is in ruku, and Hassan radiallahu anhu climbs on his back. Nabi Kareem is in that position for such a long time. After some time, somebody was going past and he said, what a nice conveyance, Ni'mal Markub. Conveyance was who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, what are you talking about the conveyance? Ni'mal Rakib. What a rider, my Hassan, my grandson. He loved them. A fruit, a new fruit of the season, he would give it to the children. He comes back from a journey. Any person goes, whether it's a business journey, whether you're coming back from Jamaat or anywhere, you're coming back from Umrah, you are tired. You go get home, have a nice shower. I need to rest, eat, have hot meals. I don't have time for everybody. Don't bring the kids tonight. Tomorrow we'll see them. Here Rasulullah gives them a ride on his camel's back. He makes those young children come sit on the same camel. How privileged they were. He'll find time for them as well. He would place his Mubarak hands on their hair. He would stroke their head. There are some Sahaba who on whose head Nabi Kareem's Mubarak fingers went on. They have mentioned that their hair never turned white. Even though they grew very old. That part remained exactly like how it was black. He placed his hand on the cheeks of the Sahaba. One particular Sahabi says, I could feel the coolness of the palm of Rasulullah on my cheeks. And you know the palm of Rasulullah, Anas radiallahu anhu, his khadim, who says, I served Rasulullah for 10 years, and he never told me, oof, one day even. If I did something which I wasn't supposed to do, he never reprimanded me. If I was supposed to do something, I didn't do it, he didn't scold me. Why didn't you do it? One day he sent me on an errand. He said, Anas, do this work for me. So I was a little boy, 10 years old. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. But in my heart, I knew I'm going to do it. But he says, as a little boy, I went and others were playing on the streets. I became so engrossed and preoccupied and I forgot that errand for which Rasulullah sent me. And suddenly, Nabi Karim comes behind, from behind me, and he holds me gently from the back of my neck, my nape. And I turned around, I see, it is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, the words here, Unais, would love. Love. Have you done my work? Ya Rasulullah, I'm going. And he quickly, you see, I go off and I do the work for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallam had time for his family. And the third part of the time spent in the house was juz'an li nafsihi, for himself. No, he had some work to do. And you know, in the house of Rasulullah sallam, he would even sweep the house, ask ourselves husbands, and I hope the wives are hearing also, when last we took the broom and helped our wives to sweep. And I say, sweep properly, not make more dirt that they have to sweep again. He would mend his own clothes. He would milk the cow, the goats. He would do household chores. He didn't say, I'm a Nabi of Allah. I must have khuddam for me. People must do my work for me. Absolutely humble. He was an embodiment of humility. No personality you find that and caliber of that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he says, Imam Tirmidhi narrates the hadith, ثُمَّ جَزَّ أَجُزْأَهُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّاسِ. So we said one part, one third for Allah alone in ibadah, one with the family, one for himself. But the one for himself, he actually divided this for himself and for the general public. From his own time now, he's giving time for the public. And here, فَيَرُدُّ بِالْخَاسَةِ عَلَى الْعَامَةِ. A very, very khas sahaba would come first, like Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu, Umar, radiallahu, Usman, Ali, radiallahu, the very famous sahaba. They would come and Rasulullah would, via them, pass on the message to the commoners and to the other sahaba and other people. So he would use them because they were intelligent, they understood the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he would utilize that time upon these special sahaba, the khas, over the arm, so that these people will then pass on the message easily to the rest of the public. وَلَا يَدَّخِرُ عَنْهُمْ شِيئًا. And Nabi Kareem did not hold back anything important to discuss and which is going to be beneficial for the people. He would share it with them. He was never miserly regarding any important guideline or any important assistance or some solution to their problems. He didn't hold that back from them. He would pass it on to them. وَكَانَ مِنْ سِيرَتِهِ فِي جُزْءِ الْأُمَّةِ إِثَارُ أَهْلِ الْفَضْلِ بِإِذْنِهِ. And I mentioned that Rasulullah would call the Ahlul Fadl, those who had taqwa, of course, those who were more prominent among the Sahaba. They say, not in lineage, not from which tribe he came, then I will give him preference. From which family he came, no. The knowledge he possessed. So obviously those ulama and those Sahaba who were scholars, who were hufaz, who were qurra, he brought them first. And he would give them preference, so he would look at, and he, وَقَسْمُهُ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ فَضْلِهِمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Then he says, فَمِنْهُمْ ذُلْحَادَ. People will come. There will be a person who has got one need. Some people has two needs. Some person has two needs. Some person has more needs. And he would see to the needs of each person individually and fulfill whatever need he had. And then he would preoccupy them in matters that are going to be advantages to their lives, for their deen, for their dunya. And the entire ummah, what he would do? وَيُشْغِلُهُمْ فِيمَا يُصْلِحُهُمْ وَالْأُمَّةَ مِنْ مُسَاءَلَتِهِمْ عَنْهُ وَإِخْبَارِهِمْ بِالَّذِي يَنْبَغِي لَهُمْ. These sahaba would come and tell Rasulullah, this is what's happening, this is what the problem a certain person is experiencing. So he would listen attentively and then he would provide solutions for them. So he was very, very concerned about the ummah at large, and he would give them appropriate advices. And therefore you find sometimes a sahabi comes and he asks for advice, and Rasulullah knows that this particular sahabi has got this weakness, he gets angry very quickly. So I need to make islah of that. So he tells him, la taghdab, don't become angry. And the sahabi says, any more advice? He says, la taghdab, don't become angry. And the sahabi says, any more advice? He says, la taghdab, don't become angry. So depending on who came and what was the problem, see, it wasn't just one advice for every person. Bilal radiallahu anhu was in charge of giving the zakat, distributing the zakat that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was tell Bilal, ya Bilal, anfiq, wala takhsha min dhil arshi iqlala. Don't fear poverty for the person who possesses the arsh. Allah will never become poor. Don't mind, spend on those poor and needy. Give them. And another sahabi would come and he wants to give all his property in the path of Allah. Nabi Kareem would say, no. Not everything, one third only. Leave for your family. Leave for your children. See the balance, the moderation in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So different occasions and different people, according to what problem they had, he would give an advice. And then very important, لِيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمْ الْغَائِبِ, that those who are present, pass on the message. Make the tabligh of what you heard from me to those who are not present. And then he would say, وَأَبْلِغُونِ حَاجَةَ مَنْ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ إِبْلَاغًا. There were people probably living in the rural area or in the village, and they could not come to Rasulullah SAW. There was no other communication that they could just send a message or telephone a sahabi and say, just ask Rasulullah this question. Sometimes person is staying far away, he was unwell, he was sick, and he could not come to the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would encourage the other sahaba, find out about that person who is staying far away, he is unable to come to me, see what need he has also, so I could also fulfill his need. This is called kamal of the shafaqah, the compassion Rasulullah had for his entire ummah. And then he says, because that person who passes on the need of any needy person to the Amir or the Sultan of the time, to the King or the Amir, and you go to the Amir and say that a certain person, or an elderly woman, a widow, she's got no money to look after her, or no food to look after her children, and you explain her hajat, her need to the Sultan, on the day of Qiyamah, you will be kept steadfast on Pul Sirat when you are crossing Pul Sirat. So he would listen to these people who had needs. At that time, there's no time for any other discussion but the needs of people. And the sahaba say, يَدْخُلُونَ رُوَّادًا وَلَا يَفْتَرِقُونَ إِلَّا عَنْ ذَوَاقٍ. They would come thirsty and they would leave, having quenched themselves, satiated. And Nabi Akram would give them something to eat also, but more than the physical, the food and the drink. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fulfill, and he would fill them, their hearts, with beautiful advices and the light that would come out from him, from his Mubarak lips, they would come onto the bosoms of these sahaba, and they would become spiritually enriched by the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when they would go, they would become leaders and they would guide others on khair. Then he says, I asked him about when Rasulullah would emerge, what he used to do. And very important, he says, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَخْزِرُ لِسَانَهُ إِلَّا فِي مَا يَعْنِهِ. That Rasulullah was very, very mindful of holding his and controlling his tongue, except in matters where he had to speak. And you find in the Shamail that Nabi Kareem would remain silent for long periods. He would remain silent. The more a person speaks, the more the chances that we are going to see something wrong. Because the Nabi of Allah is teaching us, Man samata najah, that person who's silent, he'll be successful. So Rasulullah would be very mindful of holding back his tongue and controlling his tongue. And extremely important, وَيُؤَلِّفُهُمْ وَلَا يُنَفِّرُهُمْ. And he would draw the people close towards Allah, close towards himself, close towards Islam and Deen, close towards practicing. He would not chase them away. He would not chase them away from the masjid. He was not harsh towards any person. He would say things in a very kind way, in a loving way. He would accommodate every person. The sinner also, he would bring him close and he'll make him make tawbah, istighfar. Person who's going a bit offline, he will admonish him in a nice manner. Yes, there were those occasions where Rasul became upset and angry, but those were those rare occasions, and depending who the person was who made that error. The more closer you are, you spend more time with the person, a great personality, then you're not expected to do those things. And sometimes so that you don't make that mistake again in your life. But Rasulullah made ta'lif of the qulub. He warned the hearts of people. May Allah make us such people. And then he would honor the leader of any group, any delegation. He would honor him, give him special respect. And Rasulullah was, of course, very careful also of how he would communicate with people, with the general public. So it's not just he'll become such that now he'll interact with every person, intermingle, and then he will just talk anyhow, and like how we become so close that now we become very pally. So what happens? That respect, that awe a person has now diminishes. So he was a Nabi of Allah. He had to also keep that in mind, in cognizance that I am the Nabi of Allah. My haybat, my respect must not be diminished, it must not decrease. People must not disrespect me anymore. So he was very careful of what he would say and how he would interact. But at the same time, this is the important thing, Allah give all of us tawfiq. So he is going to be very careful and cautious as to how he is going to deal with different type of people. Sometimes there could be an enemy, there could be a person who wants to harm him, or whatever hidden agenda the person has. But at the same time, he will not take away his smile from the person. He will still smile at that person. He will still be polite towards him. وَيَتَفَقَّدُ أَصْحَابَهُ. If any sahabi is missing one day, 2 days, immediately, where is that particular sahabi? Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas, radiallahu anhu, incident is very famous. That when the verses came, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. Oh, believers, do not raise your voice above the voice of your Nabi. And Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas, he was an orator, he had a natural loud voice. He stayed indoors, he didn't come out of his house. Nabi Akareem said, so where Thabit is, he not well? Sahaba were not sure what happened, so he sent some Sahaba, go check, where Thabit? And Thabit says, I cannot come because my voice is louder than that of Rasulullah. Allah has mentioned in the Quran, my a'mal will be destroyed. Nabi Akareem consoles him, say, no, Thabit. You are exception to this rule. Your voice is naturally loud. In fact, you're a true believer. So he would look, sahabi is not there, immediately he would find out, where is he? And he would ask the people regarding the conditions of people. How are you going to provide solutions to the problems of people if you do not know what they are going through? A youngster today has got some different type of challenges and problems which we never even think of. So now we need to know from the youngster that what are those things that are troubling you? What are those things that are keeping you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is not making you come for salah? So then we are able to provide adequate and appropriate solutions. مُعْتَدِلُ الْأَمْرُ غَيْرُ مُخْتَلِفٍ. He was a balanced person. Absolutely moderate. He showed moderation. No ifrat, no tafreed. There was no extremism in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not negligent in correcting people. But perhaps they may become angry or upset, or they're going to become tired of my speech and my bayans. For every occasion he was prepared. This is a lesson for all of us as an ummah together. لِكُلِّ حَالٍ عِنْدَهُ عَتَاد. Some crisis comes and we are still running to and fro. We don't have the solution ready. We say we have the solution, but we aren't prepared. So we have to be prepared for any type of crisis that may come. We have solutions. We have Quran. We've got Sunnah. We've got the Ahadith of Rasulullah. We've got the seer of the Salafi Salihin. We have got all the information. But we need to prepare ourselves. And when it came to Haqq, He was never complacent. He never made some special concession for some person, okay, now you can follow batil, no. But he would not allow a person to go extreme and go beyond what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expected him. There's so many other things, but I'm just, because time is already running out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept those people close to him who had also compassion for humanity and people who would assist others, so he'll bring them closer. And then, كان رسول الله لا يقوم ولا يجلس إلا على ذكر. Whenever he sat in a gathering or he rose from a gathering, it will be after he makes the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And generally we find, especially when we have ta'aleem, wa tabligh brothers, mashallah, Allah give them jazai khair, after the fazail amal ta'aleem, we hear them saying, subhanallah, bihamdi, yusmanik, Allahumma bihamdika, nashadu, wa la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka, atubu ilayk. You know, now it's finished. So that is a dua that we should be reading, regardless of what type of gathering we had. Sometimes we're just sitting with friends and we are talking some worldly affairs. Of course, we should not talk haram things, but if somebody spoke some futile things, whatever it was, and you read this dua, then this dua will remove whatever sin took place in that gathering. So even in a dini gathering, this is a dua that a person should read, or any other dhikr. And then if he came and there was some gathering, then he would not go over the shoulders of others, but he would sit at the end of the gathering. So people's mind is not now attracted to the person who has come now. And especially on a Friday, he should not go over the shoulders of others. That is why the sunnah is, you fill in the first saf. Now we are sitting already in the middle of the back. Now somebody comes late, there's no space in the back, so he has to be forced to go over us. So it causes some pain, discomfort. Rasulullah showed us practically that you came late, you sit at the end of the gathering. And he would give each person in the gathering his full share. In other words, he won't just ignore some people and just give special attention to only a few. Each person he would give him his fair share. To a certain extent that each person would think that I was most honored in this gathering than anybody else. And this is kamal. That you listen to every person and each person still feels that I was the most honored. And Rasulullah, if any person came to him, again, these are things for all of us to practice upon. Now, he would sit and then he listened to the person and he would not wake up from the gathering until that person who came with the need, he rises and he leaves and he departs. If any person came with any need and mentioned yesterday also, he never said la. If he did not possess that item to give the person, بِمَيْسُورٍ مِّنَ الْقَوْلِ, a very kind way, say, I don't have anything now. Come to me when the Maal of Bahrain comes. Come to me after a few days. I'm expecting some money or some goods that could come. I will give it to you then. So he would fulfill the person's need in a nice way. And if he didn't have that particular item or goods to give him, he would tell him in a very kind way that come to me at a certain time. Very beautifully, Sahabi says, فَصَارَ لَهُمْ أَبًا. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a fatherly figure for all the Sahaba, for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in his gatherings, لَا تُرْفَعُ فِيهِ الْأَصْوَاتِ. You won't find clamor and people shouting. So many times, you're sitting in a gathering and there's so much of noise taking place. So everybody was calm. And if any person had some weakness, and perhaps that weakness was mentioned, not directly, in general. So that person's weakness was never made viral. وَلَا تُنْثَى فَلَتَاتُهُ. Any blunder, any error of a person, even if it happened in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba didn't go and make a mockery of that and start passing it on to others. No. In that gathering, whatever happened, it ended off there. And all the Sahaba were equal in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such that then they began to respect the elder and have mercy on the younger. And they would then give preference to those who were of need. Inshallah, just one more and we will terminate. We don't get these occasions to speak on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as we have in this month of Rabiul Awwal, but it should be not only an occasion of Rabiul Awwal, all the time we should be speaking about our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I mentioned, generally we don't hear these things so often. Therefore, And we will just mention these things. كان رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم دائما البشري. So in his gatherings, he would always be smiling. فهل الخلق لين الجاني. He was a very easygoing person. Very humble person. Very soft-hearted. Quran says, وَلَكُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Oh my Nabi Sallam, if you are harsh, you are harsh with your tongue, and if you have a hard heart, Sahaba will move away from you. They will disperse from you. They won't be able to sit by you. And Rasulullah Sallam had that compassion, that rahmat, that mercy, the way and mannerism of bringing the person closer to him and talking to him in such a kind manner. This was the temperament of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَيْسَ بِفَضٍّ وَلَا غَلِيظٍ وَلَا سَخَابٍ. You won't find him shouting in the bazaars, screaming. وَلَا فَحَاشٍ. He would never use obscene language. He was very, very particular. He would not be lured and use nonsensical words. I think about ourselves, our gathering, where we meet, and when we talk outside the masjid, at home, whenever. How much of Allah and Zikrullah and Deen are we talking? Yes, we make a post-mortem of the bayan that took place in Jumu'ah, in different masajid, and what that Maulana is saying, what he's saying. Yes, if it's for a good reason, we're benefiting, well and good. But we are only looking at what he said, what that one said, what she said, what he's doing, what she is doing, and all those things. We are not talking about Allah's greatness. We're not talking about our Deen. Deen is not kept in front of ourselves. So, and in our circles, especially our young brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them taqwa, piety, Allah grow them from strength to strength. May Allah make them the coolness of eyes. They are the flag bearers of Islam. May Allah guide them. Don't look down upon our youth. Don't look down upon our youth. Help them, guide them. All they need, a comforting hand around their shoulder and bring them close towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they will make mistakes. So wala fahash, he wasn't obscene. Wala ayyab, he wouldn't look for false. Wala mushahin, he wasn't stingy. يَتَغَافِلُ عَمَّا لَا يَشْتَهِي. Things that he didn't like, he would just stay away from it. So if it is food, if he likes something, he'll partake, he'll eat it. If he didn't like something, he won't find fault. He just leave it. He won't eat it. And at the same time, somebody else who wanted that, he won't stop him from having that. Something which is permissible, halal for him. If Nabi Kareem did not want that, he won't have it. He'll refrain from it. But he won't stop the next person. And if somebody gives it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he would not force himself to take it and eat it just to make the person happy, because obviously it's against your temperament. So many times, sometimes we have a da'wah, it's for us to also understand as hosts. Sometimes perhaps the guest, he does not eat steak, for example, or he doesn't eat fish. Maybe he's allergic to fish. And he's trying to tell us he's feeling shy, so he's not eating there. Let him eat what he wants. When one of our mashayikh had come, we were eating. And one Maulana, mashallah, out of enthusiasm, began to take out some food and put it into the plate of that sheikh. The sheikh said, Hazrat, don't do this. Har aadmi apna man pasand lega. Each person will take what he wishes to eat. So somebody wants chicken, somebody wants steak, whatever it is, he'll take it and put it in his plate. Don't just put it into his plate, now the man doesn't like it. First time he's eating. And he's battling with it. He can't even finish it. This is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And three things specifically he stayed away from completely. Al-mira. Mira means arguing. Arguments lead to fights, quarrels, disunity. How often in our family we some silly thing begin to argue. And what happens? Somebody uses a vulgar language. Somebody becomes angry. Then we start a fight. And the whole family is disunited. And then we break off all relationships. Well, ikthar. Nabi Karim Salam would not talk excessively. Was very silent, he would always control his tongue. وَمَا لَا يَعْنِي, especially futile things. He would refrain from all things which are futile. If we can get this in our life. And this has been taught by our mashayikh in the Hankas, in Tasawwuf especially. That refrain from all those things that do not concern us. I mentioned once, the sheikh had his murid and he made some islah and tarbiyat for some time. MashaAllah, the murid had reached very high position. MashaAllah, his islah was being made. So he sent him off to another friend who was another sheikh, a spiritual doctor, and just to test if everything is okay before I send him off home. So they send sheikh writes after some time, yes, very good, excellent, but he speaks a lot. So now the sheikh asked him that, what did you speak? What you spoke, Lord? So he said, I didn't say anything. The sheikh asked you anything? He said, yeah, you asked me. Are you married? So I said, yes, I am married and I have one child also. So I have one child also was regarded by that sheikh as extra. He could have just sufficed and said, I am married. Now the extra things that means now you are still not having full control over your tongue. Even that which is mubah, permissible. If we're able to hold back and refrain from even that, then we will be able to stay away from futile things. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not find faults in people. He would not pursue their faults. This is something has become very, very common. We look for people to make a mistake so we can now mock at them and we can make them embarrass them and shame them in public. Allah protect us. Allah protect us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would only speak in that way. He would have hopes in getting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he would speak, the people, the companions would lower their heads as though there was a bird perch on their heads. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he, when he remained silent, then if anybody who needed to speak, they would speak. But the sahaba would not all fight and speak in one voice. They would have turns. لا يتنازعون عنده الحديث ومن تكلم عنده أنصتوا له. If anybody started speaking, then the other sahaba would remain silent until he completed his speech. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would lend an ear to each one whenever somebody said. So sometimes we're making mashwara and somebody is saying something, but he's not making sense. But still, we just have to bait and listen to what he's saying and then give the next person the chance to speak. And important, يَضْحَكُ مِمَّا يَضْحَكُونَ مِنْهُ وَيَتَعَجَّبُ مِمَّا يَتَعَجَّبُونَ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would also smile. The laughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ulama have explained that it was a broad smile. He did laugh very few occasions in his life, but wasn't roaring laughter how we go crazy and we laugh with a roar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he laughed, it was a quick laugh if there was any sound, but you could not see the end of his throat when he laughed. In other words, his mouth was not gaping and opening so wide where a person is chuckling and he's laughing aloud. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his laughter also, in most occasions, was just a broad smile. And things that sahaba would admire, he would also admire. In other words, he would take interest in the dunya as well. Of course, not that dunya which make a person ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned that Nabi Kareem would take some food, some fruit, and he would talk about the benefits of that. And say, this is laham, or this is faqiha, this is burtuqal, whatever it was. And then a person who would come from far, a Bedouin especially, now he did not have that education and mannerism and culture of addressing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He still had to learn how to address Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why you find that incident, and a Bedouin comes and he urinates in the masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba want to stop him. Nabi Kareem said, leave him alone. La tuzrimuhu. Don't stop him from urinating. Let him finish and relieve himself. And then Nabi Kareem showed us practically, he told the sahabi, bring a bucket of water and just wash away this. Then he calls this person. He was new. He did not know what the adab etiquette of a masjid was. He said, see this masajid? We don't urinate here. We don't pass stool here. This is a place of salat, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tilawat of Quran. And he made him understand. So a Bedouin would come and from far, ya Muhammad! But he'll ask, and sometimes these questions were so amazing and brilliant that beautiful solutions were given and answers were given. So sahaba would actually wait because they were feeling a bit difficult to ask Rasulullah a question directly, and they would wait for this villager to come and ask Rasulullah, and then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa would give advice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal. Again, this is just a glimpse of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu, the love of Rasulullah coming to our lives. Recite durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu, and make the firm niyat of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa to the best of our ability. Have full muhabbat, the love we have for Rasulullah sallallahu. After the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Rasulullah must supersede the love we have for ourselves, for our parents, for our children, and entire mankind. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah.